Step into the spotlight of Sans Showbiz, guiding you through the stories behind the stars with Nigel Clarkson. Ian Fort, who appeared on ITV's Stars in Their Eyes.
Right, on the show today, Ian Fort, well-known radio DJ, but not only radio, he's been big on the TV as well, and it started many years ago. Welcome along to this podcast.
Thank you very much, Nigel.
Would you say it first started for you when you went all the way back to Stars in Their Eyes? Was that the starter for being on TV?
It was not too long after, to be honest. Maybe 2 or 3 years after. Yeah, the Stars in Their Eyes. We actually recorded in 1993, and it wasn't out on the TV till the summer of 94. So we had to sit on that for quite a long time.
Were you sworn to secrecy acts or anything like that? Were you not allowed to tell
definitely.
Anybody about anything?
Yeah. They said, you mustn't speak to the press. We'll do a press package that we'll send to your local paper and to the regional papers. And you don't speak to anyone. Don't tell anyone how you did or where you came. Because you either win or you don't, really. But we were forbidden.
Tell the family about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you tell the family, but then they told everybody in Blackpool about it.
Well, my mum was very hard to impress. When I said to her, hey, we've got on Stars in Their Eyes, we're definitely going to be filming, she said, you want beans with your chips or peas? She wasn't really
so you better explain right to some people listening to the podcast right now or watching us on YouTube, you better explain what it was all about, Stars in Their Eyes, because some people won't know what the program was about.
Gosh, no, because it's 30 years ago. It was a chance to impersonate your favorite singer. But when they did it in the beginning, they did it properly. You spent 6 months watching videos of your favorite singer, and you had to go to choreography lessons to learn how to move like your favorite singer. And if they played instruments, you had to learn the basic chords to impersonate the playing so that it looked right, really, as well. And you spent a long time on the vocals, and there are thousands of people auditioned. And if you didn't get on, you didn't get on. You had to be good. You had to be a good mimic, a good impersonator.
Trumpet moment. So the program was, you went on as an act, didn't you? And you had to go in front of the judges. Was it in front of the judges or was it actually judged by the public?
No, the audience were the judges. So you went on as yourself, then you went backstage, then the makeup people then changed you to look like you were impersonating.
Yeah.
So you looked more. You came back through the doors with a load of dry ice and did your thing. And then the audience had buzzers in their voting buttons at Granada TV, and they, I don't know whether those buttons were connected to anything, really, or whether it was a bit like Opportunity Knocks all those years ago.
Pressing for the dear life of it and nothing happening.
It's the clapometer, folks.
Not off. So you came on as, what did you come on as?
I was Phil Everly and my brother was Don Everly. We did the Everly Brothers.
So you came on tonight, Matthew, we're going to be the Everly Brothers.
We're going to be. That's right. Well, actually, I hadn't watched Stars in Their Eyes much. So when that time came and Matthew Kelly said, who are you going to be for us tonight? And I said, you know who we're going to be. We've been rehearsing it for the last 2 hours. You know, I couldn't understand why he was asking that. And everybody laughed and said, no, you've got to say, tonight, Matthew, we're going to be.
Excellent. And then they put the smoke on, didn't they, as you went through the door? Yeah, and you came back. Da, 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 da.
And then edit it as you come back through the doors,
Were you really nervous?
Yeah, I was. Because they tell you, we only had 2 goes at it. He said that they'd had loads of acts that come on, but they're so nervous that they've vomited on stage.
Oh, great.
They've been in such a tiz that they've forgotten the words. And they said, we don't have all day to keep rehearsing this. You've had 6 months to learn it. So you get 2 goes at it, and if you don't get it, you're replaced. And we've already filmed your replacement, and here they are. And they showed us, and it was this guy singing The Lion Sleeps Tonight. I'm told the urge to sing that is only ever a whim away. Sorry, yeah, I couldn't resist that one. But that was going to replace us, which would have been dreadful. So, we had to get it right first time, second time tops, but we did it right first time.
So did you get 2 chances at it? Did you do it twice?
We did. In fact, when you watch, you can see that I'm sighing and your brother's trying to catch his breath and lick his lips. I think we were nervous, but we did it right.
I mean, it made a career for you, that program, didn't it, in the future, Ian? Because you went touring, didn't you, all over the place, you and your brother?
We did. I remember my brother saying to me, you know what, if we get 6 months' work out of this, it'd be great. And we did it for nearly 25 years.
Wow.
Unbelievably, yeah. We did Spain and Holland and lots of places in Europe and all the big places in Britain as well. We did the St David's Millennium Centre in Wales. We did the O2 in London. Not just on our own. There were two or three other acts doing 60s stuff as well that an agent had put together. And the SECC in Glasgow. All the big venues, Nigel.
Wow.
Which is quite exciting.
Yeah. What's it like to go on at the O2 then? I bet that was nerve-wracking.
Massive. The dressing room we got had been... Madonna had it the week before. And it was just huge. It had three showers, two fridges full of alcohol, which is always good for the nerves, a bit of Dutch courage. And it was just enormous. It was like three or four living rooms, more space than you needed to get ready, really. There was only two of us.
Yeah, and didn't you get a costume and everything in? Was a costume made for the show?
Yeah, yes it was. They took us to London and we went to see this tailor and he had a table, huge wooden table, filled with photographs of the Everly brothers. And we spent half an hour discussing the kind of suits that he thought would look best on TV.
Wow.
They really took it seriously in those days. Then they took us shopping in Carnaby Street and bought us some Wimple Picker boots to go with the suits.
Fantastic.
And then put us on a train back home.
And you know, when you go down to the studios and everything, right, nobody will know, behind the scenes we're talking now, do they put you up in a hotel?
They do, yeah.
And it's all paid for and everything, is it? And you get your meals.
It is. It is, yeah. Yeah, they look after you. And you got a cheque then as well for £250 each for appearing.
A cheque? What is this thing? A cheque?
A cheque, yes. It was a strange piece of paper that promised to pay the bearer.
So you didn't get the payment for 4 days. That's what I remember from checks. You never got the money in your bank. It never cleared for 4 days.
Oh, heavens. Sometimes 9 days. It used to take ages, didn't it?
I suppose you liked the stardom bit, didn't you, then, after being touring around as the Everly Brothers?
Well, it is nice. I mean, when we did Amsterdam, that was to nearly 5,000 people. And I had a star on my dressing room door and flowers and champagne in my dressing room and a queue of people wanting my autograph, Nigel. It made me feel very special for a man who's very shy and very humble and terrified of actually doing it. Once I'd done it, I loved all the fuss afterwards, yeah.
So that'll give you like an inclination to go on the TV a little bit more when it all ended after 25 years, which is a long, long time anyway, isn't it?
It is.
And you think, wow, because I know you enjoy being on the TV as an extra.
I do. I love it. I started doing that maybe 25, 27 years ago. It wasn't too long after we did Stars in Their Eyes. And mainly because a girl who lived in a room next to me in the nurse's home in Manchester, she used to do it. And her boyfriend drove her there because they always start early in the morning. It's always half 6, 7 o'clock.
Don't tell me he used to do it as well.
No. Well, I don't know. Well, possibly. But they split up and she said, can you take me to see the agent? I'll have to explain why I can't do it anymore. Because he used to drive her to these early gigs and she didn't drive. So I said, all right then. While I was there, the agent said, do you want to do it? And I thought, not half. Absolutely I do. So yeah, that's how I got started.
Yeah, so some interesting shows that you'll have been on as an extra. What's one of your favourites?
One of my favourites? I've only ever had one line in the 25 or so years, and that was Hollyoaks after I was a policeman and there was a body. That's all I can remember, really, and an abandoned car. And I had the line, is this your vehicle, sir? And I tried to sound like the policeman that had stopped me for speeding on the M61 a few weeks before. I was playing loads of TV themes like Indiana Jones and James Bond and 633 Squadron. I couldn't turn the thing off fast enough when he came to my window. And he said, good evening, Squadron Leader. Run out of runway, have we, sir? He must have heard Dam Busters. I couldn't do all the buttons fast enough. So that was the voice I channeled for that. It's your vehicle, sir. And that was good. Still not got onto Doctor Who. That's something I'd really like to do. I've met directors. characters. I've met other people who've been on it. I've done shows where there's been scenes with Daleks, but not my scenes, sadly.
There'll be a big queue for people to try and get onto Doctor Who, I would imagine.
I would think so. But when I spoke to the producer some years ago, he said, anyone who tells me they're a Doctor Who fan, we don't pick them. Because most times they're trying to nick stuff off the set all the time. They're trying to get their hands on a script or a piece of TARDIS or whatever. Yeah.
It's so a bit difficult getting a Dalek in the back of the car, though, isn't it? You know, when you're going up.
Not in my Skoda. No chance. Maybe I could roof rack it, strap it to the top.
So you've been in some recent TV shows as well, haven't you? One that springs to mind is The Flood.
After The Flood, yeah. I was in that as a tired daddy. They gave me two children that I had to be trying to get some food off them in a community hall, or some food for them. No, I'm not licking it off them. And then they made me a flood warden a bit later on, but I don't know if any of that made it to the screen.
I saw you queuing up, actually. When I saw the bit that in the canteen, I saw you there,
yes.
And you were queuing up, and you were getting, it looked like a sausage barm cake or something.
That's
you
right,
yeah. Very happy.
We'd just done this scene where we were carried into the school on the back of a tractor underneath a rain machine, and it was really windy as well, and we must have done half a dozen takes of that, going backwards and forward, being soaked and windswept, and I was glad to be indoors. That's why they stuck a hat on me, I think.
And did you play different parts as well in that series? Did you play other people, or was it just one person?
I think I was the dad for the first two episodes, and then later on they had me as a flood warden in a blue high viz. But I haven't watched it, to be
fair. Have you not?
So I don't know if I've seen. I keep meaning to, but I've not got around to it.
I never understand that. A lot of people say, "Oh yeah, I'm in blah 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 blah," but I haven't watched it.
I'll tell you what, Nigel, I used to do for the first 15 years or so, but I was embarrassed at saying to people, hey, I've just filmed this, I'm man with a horse, I'm man with a pipe, I'm, you know, whatever. And then we'd watch it, or I'd say to my mum, I'm in this, and then it would all be cut, and you didn't see me, and I knew where I was, and it wasn't in it, and then you just feel a bit silly then.
Yeah, the nearest I got to any TV was on EastEnders, and it was at Blackpool Pleasure Beach. And do you remember the radio station in the middle there, Kit Kat Radio?
Kit Kat Radio, you did that, didn't you?
I did that for a couple of seasons, and we're opposite the goldmine there, and this guy came
brilliant.
In and said, hello, I'm from the BBC, and we'd like to use your voice. Can you say this, that... a couple of the actors, and it was like a dedication or something. I said, oh, yeah, I can do that. So they recorded it all, signed the contract, and you will be getting, I can't remember, I was going to get paid for it. I think it was about £100 or something. And that's a contract. But you only get paid if we use it. Yeah. So, I never watched EastEnders, and I watched it. They didn't use it. They were at the Pleasure Beach, but they never used it.
Oh, Nigel.
Oh, could have done with that.
Well, the good news is, if you're an extra, you still get paid whether you're used or not. So that's always a good sign.
So anybody listening to the podcast, right, because there's going to be people who've liked to get into being an extra, how on earth do you go about being an extra on a TV show?
Oh, there. If it's a quiz show or something like that, I believe you contact the makers directly and say you're interested, and they have reams and reams of names that they decide to get back to or try as and when they make the shows. If it's TV shows in general, most people are with an agent or an agency. Yeah. It's not like the old days where you had to have an equity card and you had to have an agent who represented you solely. And most people, these are just agencies that are set up and provide extras, background people. And there are lots of them. Linton Management's one that I'm with. But there is PHA is one, I think. Boss is one. Industry is one. There are loads of them.
So what do you have to do with the agency? Do you have to pay them a fee? Or how does it work, that? Do they take a fee if you get a gig?
Yeah, they usually charge you about £15 to get their photographer to take the photograph that they want to use on the stuff they submit to the people on the telly. And then after that, they take 12%, 15% from whatever fee you get for for doing it.
So they're driven to get you on the TV because they want more sales. So they need to get everybody on the TV as quick
as possible. Yes, yes. And things like adverts, if you can get those, they generally pay really well. I did one for Daz with Danny Baker in Manchester. I think that was about £300 for that, for the day, which wow. wasn't a day. It was about 3 hours. And the best one, the best gig I've ever had acting-wise, I didn't get a word in. I had to clean a car for Red Row Housing. And the camera panned back to show a young couple with a house, me sad with a cat, cleaning the car in the house next to them, and then an elderly couple in the house next to that. And that took us about 5 hours to film on an estate in Chester. And yeah, when I got a check for that, it was £685.
Wow.
And then I got another check for 200 and something because they'd shown it online and in cinemas. So it's my only royalty payment as well.
And was the car clean?
Oh, I 10 times over.
But no paint left on it. I love your eyes. How's it going?
It was silvery grey by the time I'd scraped it all off, yeah.
I mean, because you've been on the radio for quite a long time. You did Sans Radio for 3 years.
I did and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so you'll be looking for some like DJ parts or radio presenters on the TV, I suppose.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, the agency say, what skills have you got? Can you play golf? Can you ride a horse? Can you... What things can we put you forward for? And I keep telling them, I did a stint as a radio presenter and I'm a singer. They did get me a background job once doing karaoke for something, a daytime thing for the BBC called Moving On. But I keep saying, write these things down. And, well, yeah, I'd love, it'd be great to play a radio presenter for the telly.
You know, when you go for an extra job, say you're on Coronation Street or something like that, do they have catering where you get some free meals? What do you get free?
What do you get free? I've done loads of curries. You don't get anything free on curry.
You know.
They used to have a burger van that did sausage butties or burgers in the beginning, but now they have a canteen. It's a big hub. And if you want food, you have to go and pay for it or take your own.
Wow. What about a pint of beer?
No, because all the extras were getting drunk. There's the thing. They used to use real alcohol. And the extras were drinking it and they were being topped up and drinking some more. And the next thing, you had a lot of drunken background people.
I always thought, in the Rovers, that they didn't use real beer. I always thought it was like a gravy white water mix that they had to drink, and they said it tasted disgusting. They just sipped at it.
Oh, they used to use beer, but yes, after the extras were drinking it on purpose, really, so they had to keep getting topped up. They replaced it with alcohol-free beer. You remember Caliber when it first came out?
Yeah.
That was really absolutely awful. It doesn't taste great.
No, I always think, you know, when the actors are eating... They always look like they're eating marbles. Have you noticed that on the TV? As if it's absolutely foul what they're made to eat. And they're like, yeah. And then, but they're not. It's bad acting. They go, ooh. You can tell it's like stone cold or something.
Because very often it's been out for 3 days or something while they've been filming.
Oh.
Or they've put it out and then they've broke for lunch and it's been under the studio lights and it's dried up and congealed a bit. Or I bit a hot dog once and someone said, don't swallow that. It's been there 2 days. Oh, good.
So what's the plans for the future then? Are you trying to get? Have you ever tried to get in a film?
Yeah. Occasionally I get put forward. I did A Monster Calls with Liam Neeson. I never got to see Liam Neeson. And in fact, I was man on a train filming at midnight in Ramsbottom. But when I watched it, they'd cut that scene of me shambling along the train. But films would be good. Yeah, I'm happy to do all these things.
Would you travel far? You know, would you go to... If you got a call from America, would you go there?
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. It would have to be... If you got a few days or a few weeks on a film, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and pay for the flights and everything like that. I'm sure they would do if you were going to America.
Oh, well, do you remember when Benidorm first started? That was, everybody wanted to do Benidorm because they flew you out there to Spain for a week to film, possibly 2 weeks. And you got paid for every day and free accommodation and free food and drink.
It's a great TV series. It's still on it everywhere. And you keep getting these little short reels on Facebook about Benidorm. And it's so funny, isn't it? It's politically incorrect, but it's dead funny.
I'm having a crack at learning Spanish at the minute using that Duolingo app. And I always think of the Spanish barman because everything starts with Cho. For I want to do the Cho. And I think I just sound like, can't remember his name now. Goodness.
He's a good actor. He's a good actor. He's actually British, isn't he?
Yes. And I thought he was genuinely Spanish till I saw him interviewed.
So good at that acting. I mean, it got shelved, didn't it? Benidorm's been axed, hadn't it, a long time ago now.
Yeah. Matthias, that was his name, wasn't it?
What was
Matthias.
Matthias,
the barman's name,
same as the wine.
Yes. Matthias.
Anyway. So, it's been great talking to you. You know what we do on here on the podcast on Sands? What we do is ask three questions of our guests, you see, to see how they're going to... what they come up with, the reply. So it's nothing really tricky. And everybody starts sweating at this moment. It's really funny. It's funny for me because I know what the questions are. We'll start off with the first one, and I think you'll have no problem with this one. Who's been your biggest music influencer? You know, who did impress you as a child or a kid or as you were growing up and thought, they are just brilliant?
I was late in the day coming to the Everly Brothers, and I only really listened to them because I was trying to impersonate them. But I've come to love the cleverness of their harmonies. They're not predictable harmonies. They're really unusual. And they came from a musical family as well. Their parents used to sing. So they were very clever musicians, and the harmonies are not as easy as you think. I enjoyed those. But of course, I liked Human League and OMD when I was a teenager growing up.
Was he a new romantic?
Oh, well, I wasn't allowed to dye my fringe or bleach it. I tried, and certainly wasn't allowed to wear any makeup. I think my dad had just got over seeing Boy George on Top of the Pops. But, in my heart, I was a new romantic,
Yeah, I think the nearest we got was wearing eyeliner. Because Gary Newman used to have that as well, and I think we like to think we were Gary Newman at one stage.
He was so cool, though, wasn't he?
He was,
Newman, what a legend.
He never smiled, though. Don't break a smile. Not even on Breaking Wind, I can't smile. But, right, that's question number one. That's answered that. Now, then, here's question number two. I don't know whether you'll have any trouble with this one, but what's your favourite car or a dream car you would love to drive? I take it you're driving.
I am driving, yeah. And I'd love to drive a Capri. I've always wanted to drive a Capri. I just missed the time of Capris. And then I got it in my head that they might be really cheap last year or the year before. And I thought, I wonder if I can pick up a cheap Capri and I'll just drive it for a year. Well, have you seen the prices of them, Nigel?
Amazing.
They're a legendary car, like Ford Escorts. You can't get them.
60
They're just
grand.
Thousands and thousands of pounds.
60,000. I saw a Sierra and it was going nearly 100 grand. You know, the top of the range Sierra. I can't remember what it was called now.
Is it Sierra Cosworth?
Yeah, that was it. Cosworth, wasn't it? Like 100 grand for a mint one of those. So hang on to your car a little bit longer because you never know. It could be worth something.
I don't think I could get in and out of a Capri now. I think my knees would. Yeah. They were quite low down, weren't they?
Yeah, my sister had one. She had a yellow Capri.
And, did she?
Somebody ran into her near Premium Bonds, and that was that. Then she got a new Mini, and then somebody ran into that as well. So, but she didn't give up. She kept driving. But Capri was a bit of a poser's car, wasn't it? And the yellow one, I mean, I don't think a bloke would be driving a yellow one. I think it was more for a lady, wasn't it, really?
I suppose.
I think he had a leather roof as well, if I'm not wrong.
Wow.
Anyway, that's question number two, and you won't be getting one of them because there isn't any of them about. If you win the pools or something, or the pools, the lottery, we're going back
like
in time
Nicholson.
There. Hey, look at this. I've got five draws.
I know. Well, I might get a tenner.
The pools man's coming round soon. Do you remember the pools man used to come round, didn't he? Collect your pools.
With the picture of Viv Nicholson on the top of it saying spend.
And she did.
She did.
That's number two out of the way. Capri. Now, this one might take a little bit of sorting out. Question number three. What's your favourite must-go-to food or snack?
You know, it's a dead simple one. It's a dead simple one. I love melted cheese on toast.
Do you? Is that your favourite?
I do. Yeah, if you want to put some onion with it or a sprinkle of chili or any, you can just add anything to it, can't you, really? Yeah. But as long as the cheese is melted on the toast.
Are you a brown bread man or are you just a white bread? Or what sort of bread do you like?
Well, you know, I'll eat cheese on anything, to be honest, but it can't be a milk roll. It's got to be a thick white slice for me, I think.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say a bacon sandwich. That would be my favourite.
Oh, now you see, it's probably a tie. It's difficult, that. I do love a good bacon sandwich as well. Yeah. But maybe the cheese on toast just pips it for me.
But that's it. There's only those three questions, so don't worry.
Oh, thank God for that.
You can relax now. You can let your hair go. And yes or no. It's been great chatting to you. As per normal, all your fans will be listening on that, won't they? And
tell them to look out for a series called Lazarus. I filmed that last week. I was, I don't know what it's about. Everything was very secretive. But I was road worker next to the burst water mains, unfortunately. Right. So I was underneath the rain machine and wet through for 3 hours in the centre of Liverpool. But you might spot me in a white hard hat. And it's I don't know when it's on. Next year, probably.
So what's the name of the show again?
It's called Lazarus.
Lazarus.
Yeah.
Are they running out of one-word titles they can use now for TV series? You know, like, it's got to be like Flood, Tragic, or Lazarus, or whatever it is. And then, and it, you know,
that's the trend.
Trigger Point, was that on the other day? Was that that was good, but that's two words. We got to two words now because we run out of one words. That was a good series. I enjoyed that.
I heard good things about it. Yeah.
Oh, you've not seen that?
Not yet.
It's a good one, that. So you'll be in that, Lazarus. Anything else on the way this year that you know about?
Possibly Waterloo Road. But I've already played a parent and a press photographer in that some years back. But it's back again now, isn't it? A whole new iteration of it. The agent has said that they're going to put me forward for more of those.
It's timeless, isn't it, when you think about it? A TV show about school, you're just going to go on forever, aren't you?
The kids growing up and different teachers,
But they'll have to be putting it on after 9 o'clock in a bit, you know, with all the effing and jeffing going on.
Shenanigans that go on in school.
If it was real, anyway, you know. Anyway, it wasn't like that when I went to school.
We were just busy burning magnesium with Bunsen burners instead of learning how to run our lives, weren't we?
Yeah. Run things still went on, though, when we were kids. I mean, everybody goes on about, oh, today it's terrible. But there was awful things going on when we were kids, weren't there? But nobody knew about them because we didn't have any social media, so nobody found out about them, did they?
No.
It was just word of mouth down the corner shop and stuff like that, wasn't it, when you were picking up your
lines?
Anyway.
What you heard down the smoker's alley.
Smoker's Alley. I got caught when I was at school. There was an alcove at the school. It was a sports hall at Ansdell's. Didn't say Ans Secondary Modern. It became the school. I was having a cigarette there, a crafty fag, and I thought everybody's dispersed round here. Anyway, carry on. Next thing, bang on my back. Go on, off to the headmaster. I thought, oh, and I thought everybody got caned in those days for smoking.
Gosh.
You got six. I stood there for ages, and one of my favourite teachers came past and said, oh, he must have had a quiet word. Said, Nigel, he's all right, Nigel. He's fine. Yeah, but he's been smoking.
He don't want caning.
And I just got a really stern warning and got off.
Oh,
he always used
that.
To do that. I used to get around the teachers a little bit. I don't know whether you tried to do that, but, you know, soft spot.
It's self-preservation, isn't it?
He said, how could you cane somebody with eyebrows like that? So then he wouldn't do it, you see. This is how it goes. It's been brilliant chatting to you, Ian, as always.
And you, Nigel.
You think your radio days are over now, yeah?
Well, I think so. I think so. I really enjoyed doing that.
But it's gone,
and it was a golden opportunity, and I feel like that's kind of had its time for me, really, yeah.
I think radio has, generally speaking, and I think it's just not modern, is it, for a start?
Things are moving on.
And there was an interesting, like, poll done at a place. I won't mention the place because it's round here on the Falco. It's a big working office, and they said, tell us which radio station you listen to. And you know what? Everybody chose a national radio station. and they didn't choose a local radio station. So that tells it all, doesn't it, really?
Oh, and you see, I'd have thought a local station would have been the thing to listen to because you can relate to what the people are talking about or mentioning. But I think you're quite right. It's actually doesn't work that way, does it?
Anyway, stick to the TV because that's always going to keep going, isn't it? Netflix, Doctor Who, got it all lined up for you this year.
I did a Netflix Christmas film, but I don't know if I was ever shown. I was supposed to be a landlord, then I was a carol singer, then I was just man sat in the pub with a pint.
Yeah, just before you go, do you get a credit of your name if you are an extra, or it's not?
No, because there are levels of extra-dom, if that's the phrase.
Right.
If you're a featured extra, featured extra, I think is the thing. You get a credit then, but other than that, no, you're just in the background.
Right, we'll leave your details underneath the podcast anyway, so if there's any inspiring film directors or anything like that, they can get in touch. Get you on
the next
show.
I think my agent leaves them in the bin, Nigel. I don't know where my details go.
Well, you never
know. I'm always hopeful.
We'll put the carrier pigeon details or however you want to be contacted at the bottom of the podcast. Ian, you never know. I mean, you've advertised Doctor Who for at least half an hour, so you've got a good chance now.
Oh, no, I've said I'm a fan. They won't have me.
Oh, no, you're not really a fan. You mistakenly thought that would be the thing to say. But it's
been
great.
It's just an old T-shirt.
Great having you on the podcast as well. By the way, the first subscriber to Sam's Showbiz podcast was Stevie Bell.
Was it?
Glasgow, yeah. Give him a shout before you go, will you?
Stevie Bell, I will. Great to hear that you're the first subscriber to the podcast. And you were always, it was great to see your name when was on the radio. Fantastic. Yeah. And always love your witty responses as well. Keep it going. And drive safely.
Yeah, drive safely. Anyway, thanks a lot, Ian. Brilliant to have you on. And we'll catch up soon as well. We'll catch up with you in about a year.
All right.
Or maybe less if you feel like it. And we'll find out, you know, if you get some good news, let us know. We'll get you on another podcast and you can explain more about it.
Oh, I would love to, Nigel. It's been great to talk to you again.
Okay, cheers, Ian.
Thanks very much. See
you. Bye for now. Bye.
Bye.
If you loved what you heard, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast channel to never miss an episode. Stay connected and become part of the Sans Showbiz family by following us on our social media platforms. See you next time.